Please join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for how great you are. From creation to sustaining this earth and this universe and these galaxies that we are a part of, great are you, Lord. And yet in your immenseness, your vastness, you still are personal. You're still involved in the details of our lives. We are not lost in the vastness of who you are, but you know our hearts, you know our minds, you know our thoughts, you know our needs, you know everything about us, and you love us. Great are you, Lord. As we think about a new year, which really in many ways is artificial, but it brings in our culture this concept of new beginnings, new starts, resolutions, changes. Father, may one thing we realize it doesn't change is you. Great are you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So glad that you chose to be here on New Year's Day. And the good news about this is that obviously a lot of people didn't decide to come today, and they don't have perfect attendance, and you still have a shot. So, isn't that cool? You still have a shot for perfect attendance and the fabulous prizes that we award for those who have perfect attendance. But we really don't award any prizes. But anyway, you're here, and so we're glad that you are here. And our schedule's a little different today. We will be partaking and celebrating communion together. And so we have a different schedule for the kids. We're offering preschool junior worship in the back, and we'll dismiss those guys in just a minute. But the kids, elementary age, kindergarten and up, we would like you to stay with us. And I'm going to need your help, as we're going to play a little game later too. So I'm going to need your help. But you'll stay up here with us as we have communion today. So why don't we do this? Let's go ahead and receive our offering. We'll do that now. And then at the conclusion of that, we'll have our preschool kids head back to junior worship. So today is about communion. It's about community. So our scripture is from Acts chapter 2, which Acts is a history book of the early church, really. And so this passage is a familiar one to many of you, and it has this idea to do with community. So let's read this. Read it together with me, please. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. No one is asking any of us to sell all that we have. That's not going to happen. Unless God asks you to do that, and then you should. But there still needs to be a sense of community, and obviously giving is a way in which, one of the ways we do that. So as we give today, let's kind of think about how that community thing fits into your life. All right, thank you guys. So if you're in preschool, you can head back to junior worship. Otherwise, we're asking you to stay up with us today. And there are some activity bags in the back, though my sermon will be shorter than normal. If you're of a particular age, younger, it might still be interminably boring. So I don't mind if you color or anything like that. Actually, a little shorter this week because we want to make sure we have enough time for the communion. So I was thinking my sermon shorter this week. My sermon was shorter last week. This is not a trend that's going to continue. All right. Next Sunday, I'm putting in my full 2 hours. All right. So to catch up for all the other shortages that we've been having. This is a special time. We always want to, when we celebrate communion here at Buffalo Valley, we never want to just sort of tack it on. We want to make our service about it. We celebrate communion here basically three times a year. The first Sunday in January, we just have the bread and the cup. And then during our love feast, which is the Thursday before Easter in the spring, and then the first Sunday in October, we gather together for a meal, and that's a special time. And I'll plug this a lot when we get up to it, but especially those of you that are new, if you've never been to love, we really want to encourage you to come and celebrate this whole, the whole thing that Jesus celebrated with his disciples. So today I want to talk about this word here and this word connection. So if you're filling in your notes, the very first slide says, as we celebrate communion, we are going to talk about connections, right? I want to ask you today, how are your connections, right? How are your connections? When we talk about connections, it's good to have connections, right? If you're a person who has connections, that's typically something that's good for you. So it could be in your place of employment. If you're whatever you do, if you have connections, that's good. People think you're important, or you think you're important, or you provide good information to other people. Other people provide information to you. When we say that somebody is well connected, right? That's something that's positive about that particular individual. We think that's a good thing. You can be LinkedIn or whatever it is on, you know, I've never done that. I don't know if that's really of any value or not, but you can have connections, right? It's important to have connections. And so communion really talks about, or one of the things, one of the aspects of it, and what we're going to talk about today, is the idea of connections. How are your connections as it relates to communion? Now, this idea of communion was very important to the early church. It's recorded for us in three of the Gospels. It's recorded for us in the book of Acts. It's written by Paul in the letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians that we have. And so we know that the early church celebrated this quite often. We know that they gathered together. And I believe the early church routinely celebrated a meal together, similar to what we do with love feasts. They ate together. And then they did this thing that we call communion or the Lord's Supper, where they used bread and probably at that point wine, whether it was fermented or not. Let the theologians debate that. But they had this thing they did called the Lord's Supper or communion. And they did this a lot. They did it frequently. We don't know exactly how frequently they did it, but they did it a lot. In fact, it's sort of interesting. We have some accounts from extra-biblical history that said that they thought that this was so important, it was such a vital part of their early Christians' worship experience, that they were actually accused of being cannibals because they talked about eating the body of Jesus and drinking the blood of Jesus. And so there were some that wrote that said one of the reasons we need to get rid of this new movement, this new sect of faith, is because they're actually cannibals. They're actually eating the body and blood of someone, which of course is ridiculous, but that's what they understood. So it was a vital part of what they did and how they celebrated their relationship with God. And so what I want to do today is talk about two ways in which we are connected. So we have communion, remember, as a vertical connection with God, and then a horizontal connection with God and others. Now, I say vertical. We recognize that God is not just up there, right? He's around us. He's everywhere at the same time. But typically, when we think about our relationship with God, we kind of think about it in terms of a vertical connection. And then we have this horizontal connection with God and with other people. So God is involved in our connections that we have with one another in the body of Christ as well. So that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to go through it fairly quickly because this is not new material to very many of you. If it is new to any of you and you need to talk more about it or want to ask more questions, please do so. I'd love to interact with you. But for most of you, it's going to be fairly familiar. So we're going to kind of walk through this because I want to spend a good amount of time around the Lord's Supper today. So here's just one of the passages. This is from Matthew 26, verses 26 through 28. And as they were eating, so this is the disciples and Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So we have this idea of two different covenants, and so two different connections, and so we're going to begin right now. The vertical connection with God is vital because of the disconnection caused by sin. right? So we are disconnected with God because of our sin. We are born sinners. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I hope you understand that. I hope that you don't think that you haven't committed any sin. I hope that you know that you are a sinner, that I'm a sinner, that we routinely commit sin. It's not just the bad stuff that we shouldn't do. It's also the good stuff that we should do that we don't do. It's not just the actions. It's also the thoughts. I mean, Jesus sort of broadened the horizon so that everybody would understand that as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And the whole Old Testament and New Testament has this paradigm of sin and redemption. And so we're in trouble because we are disconnected from God because of sin. And I think that Jesus, as he's sitting in those, I would love to have had video of this. You know, I really would love to have had video of this event. As he's sitting with the disciples, kind of put yourself back in there for just a moment. They're confused. They don't understand what's happening. They've seen Jesus do things that no one has ever done before. They've heard him teach in ways that no one has ever taught before. They've heard him challenge people and always be right in the ways that he challenged them, in ways that they'd never seen before. They've seen him demonstrate power over sickness and disease in ways that they'd never seen anybody do before. They had seen him demonstrate power over the wind and the waves and multiplying food in ways that no one had ever done anything like that before. And yet he kept having this nagging, annoying thing about him because he kept talking to them about his death. And that did not fit the puzzle, right? He kept talking about a cross. He kept talking about dying. And in their mindset, messiahs, saviors did not die. They didn't go to a cross. Criminals went to a cross. God didn't go to a cross. A messiah didn't go to the cross. That was not in their understanding of their theology. And as they gather together around this evening, and if we know the timeline from the Bible, it's not very soon after this when Jesus and the disciples head off then to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is arrested and crucified. I can't help but wonder what kind of uncertainty there was in the air, what kind of tension there was in the air, what kind of just excitement, but you know how we get some of those things if you have that sort of excitement about something, but you're sort of fearful about it at the same time. Maybe for some of you, it's like a roller coaster or something you're going to do, or, you know, maybe for, I don't know, whatever it is, but you know, you're excited about it, but you're fearful about it at the same time. There's an uncertainty about it. And I believe one of the reasons that Jesus did this, and one of the reasons that he told them, the disciples, and by extension, you and I as followers of Jesus today, to continue to perform this act of sharing this juice, this cup, and this bread, was to give them a reminder of what was about to happen. And I'm sure that as the early church did this, and again, they didn't understand anything about the death and the resurrection piece. We know that all the disciples left, they fled, they didn't know, you know, nobody stood up with Jesus when he was. I believe that as they began to do this regularly and routinely, they began to understand what was done for them. They began to understand what Jesus did for them that helped them to be connected again to the Father. And so as we walk through this today, let's be reminded that the bread is a symbol of Jesus' body, which was offered as a sacrifice for us. We go all the way back to the Old Testament, all the way back to as God set up the sacrificial system, right? That there needed to be animals that were sacrificed so that they could have forgiveness of sin. And the animals had to be what? They had to be perfect. You couldn't bring a lame one. You couldn't bring a sick one. You couldn't bring one with three legs thinking, we need to get rid of this one anyway. You know, you couldn't do that. You had to bring the perfect ones. You had to bring the ones that were spotless. You had to bring the ones that were most valuable. And that was just a picture of this body of Christ that was sacrificed for us, a sinless body, one that wasn't marred by sin, one that wasn't marred by the kinds of things that our bodies are marred by. Yet it was bruised and battered and beaten and bloodied and ultimately nailed to a cross. And when we take this bread, and when we eat this bread, it is a symbol. We do not believe, you know, there are different traditions out there in the Christian world, but we do not believe that the bread is actually transformed into the body of Christ. It's a representation, it's a symbol. But it reminds us of the sacrifice of Jesus. It reminds us of a body that was broken, a perfect body, a sinless body that was broken for you and for me. And then we don't use wine, we use grape juice. And the juice is a symbol of Jesus' blood through which we have forgiveness. Again, all throughout the Old Testament, all throughout the New Testament, we read over and over about how important the blood is. In Hebrews, we read that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. In Ephesians, we read that in him, in Jesus, we have forgiveness, redemption through his blood. And over again, we realize and we read that the blood of Christ is the way through which we have forgiveness of our sin. And it is only through the blood of Christ that we have forgiveness of sin. And so as we drink this juice, we are reminded, if we have trusted in Christ and received Christ as our Savior, we are reminded in what he has done for us. And not only forgiveness that's eternal in terms of the idea of heaven and hell, but also forgiveness for each day that we have. So there's this idea of a vertical connection with God. And you have an opportunity, if you're not already vertically connected with him through repentance and faith, you have an opportunity to do that even today. In fact, really, communion isn't really for you if you haven't done that, because there's nothing for you to represent. This is a representation of that moment when we have said to God, I receive Jesus as my Savior. You take my sin, I take your righteousness, and this bread and this juice reminds me of that transaction that took place. When you look upon me, you no longer see a sinner. You no longer see someone separated from you. Instead, you see a child. You see an adopted child, a son, a daughter of God. You see your son. You see his righteousness in me. And that's what this vertical connection is all about. And it is so incredibly glorious. And it is only through the grace of God, right? It's not through your resume. It's not through your good works, not through your efforts. But it's through what Christ has done for us. And each time as the disciples would gather, and I can only imagine how incredibly meaningful it must have been for them. They were reminded, and we're reminded, of what Christ has done for us and the offer that he extends to us. But it doesn't stop there. There's also a horizontal connection, right? There's a horizontal connection between you and God and other people. And this, I think, works on two different levels. So God is involved in all of this. He's involved in the vertical connection, or the connection that he has with us. But he's also involved in the connection that we have with others in the body of Christ. So he's involved in both of those things. And so there's a couple things that I want to talk about today. Next slide says that each time we read of communion taking place, it takes place in a community of people. So when Jesus was celebrating this with, at that point, 11 disciples, when they partook of the Lord's Supper, because Judas had already left, there was a community of people. In Acts chapter 2, when we read that, there is a community of people who were gathering together to celebrate this. Now, I don't think it's necessarily wrong to do it by yourself, and if that's the only way in which you have an opportunity to remember and to celebrate, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But the idea, the clear pattern of the New Testament is to do this thing together in community. And I believe, and we've talked about this before, that pushes against our culture's individualistic nature, right? I don't need you. And now, and we read up in there, they were selling things in Acts chapter 2, right? They were selling their possessions, dividing them, distributing them because people were losing their jobs, loved ones were being imprisoned and persecuted for this following Jesus. And so they needed those resources to live. We don't really live in that kind of a way today. Right? We don't need that. And our culture, I think, pushes us towards individualism, but the Bible calls us to this sense of community, and that's one of the things that we do when we celebrate communion together. Every time we read it in the Bible, it takes place in this community of people. And why is that important? Well, it's important, one, because we need one another. We need these connections. I was thinking about a spider web. And the reason that a spider web works is because it is connected in all of these different ways. And so it can withstand the wind. It can withstand the rain. I mean, you know, with limits, obviously. I mean, it's not like you can't go out there and take down a web if you want to. But there's all kinds of, there's the connections. They're all linked in. And what often happens when people walk away, from the faith, when if you talk to them, you find out they've severed a lot of their connections. They stop reading the Bible. They stop praying. They stop working on that relationship with God. And then they pull back. And often when we get in trouble, when we sin, when we do the wrong things, or when we become disillusioned with ourselves or with others, the natural reaction for us is to isolate. And this reminds us, no, we must stay connected. One of the things that I was thinking about as it relates to ministry here at Buffalo Valley is we have this thing called the Stephen Ministry. And we have right now 8 trained Stephen ministers they're all ladies, and they're connecting with other ladies in our congregation on a weekly or almost weekly basis. And we've got a new training group coming up, and I know we have, I think, 5 guys signed up for the training, and we're gonna train, and one of those is Eric, and so he won't be trained as a Stephen, well, he'll be trained, he won't be commissioned as a Stephen minister, but we got 4. We need more of that. So if you're here, then you're not sure. There's a new training starting up when, Tracy? Hopefully, when are we starting? Yeah, I know, but when this, you don't know yet. Okay, well, in January. Okay, all right, starting in January. So if you're not familiar with what that is, this it's so vital. It's not just vital for the Stephen, the care receivers, but also for the caregivers to keep yourself connected. And that's why we encourage you to be in Sunday school or in small groups or as you get together with people, not only believers here at Buffalo Valley, but believers other places that you know. I need those connections. There's another way that this is really, really important. And it goes along with this next slide. There's really no way to evaluate the vertical connection. All right, so if I go up to John over here and I say to John, John, I really love God. Is there any way for John to evaluate that? Not really, right? He doesn't know anything about the intensity of my emotion, my feeling, my connection with God. And I can fake it. Lots of people fake it. It's easy to fake. And so there's no way for John, if he's maybe he's interested in a connection with God. He doesn't have one, perhaps. He's interested in that. And so I could testify to him, you know what, I have this connection with God. But there's no way that he on the outside, or even the world on the outside, looking into us, right, as a body of Christians, to evaluate the connection. And we live in a particular culture where people tend to be suspicious of that anyway, right? They tend to be kind of suspicious. They think the church is hypocritical and all that sort of thing. And in some ways it is. But they look at that and they go, you know, there's no real way for me to evaluate if you really love God or not. You can say it on Sunday, but you can live a different way on Monday. And I believe that one of the reasons that Jesus instituted this thing that we call communion or the Lord's Supper was to remind his followers of the way that Jesus demonstrated that he was God. One of the ways that he demonstrated that. So next slide kind of wraps it up. Jesus knew that the horizontal connection that his followers have with others would be most important in helping others desire a vertical connection with him. Jesus knew that the horizontal connection that you and I have with other people, right, would be most important in helping others desire a vertical connection with him. When we read accounts of others outside of the Bible who write about the church in the first century, and obviously we don't have very much of this. We don't have very much first century literature at all. But some things we read that they looked at these people who called themselves Christians or who were defined as Christians, who Jesus followers, and they treated other people differently than the rest of the people treated other people. They were interested in taking in the babies and the children that were left to die exposed to the elements. They were interested in going to the lepers and treating them and talking to them. They couldn't really treat them, but I mean talking to them and ministering to them and being willing to go to other people that nobody would go to. What was Jesus constantly getting in trouble with in his interaction with the sinners, right? You can't eat with those people, Jesus. Don't you know what that woman is who's crying her tears and anointing? Don't you know who she is? Of course Jesus knew who she was. But he wanted people to see that his connection that he had with the Father flowed out, not simply in words, but in how he ministered to other people. So for me, the horizontal connection is so incredibly important. How I'm connected with other people is important so that those other people can see that I have a vertical connection with God. And maybe that will move them to ask about that. Or move them to instead in a quiet moment just simply ask God, God, help me understand. Why does he do this? Why does she behave the way that she behaves? Think of all these things that Jesus taught. He said things like, love your neighbor as yourself. He said things like, greater love has no man than this, but to lay down his life for his friends. Continually, Jesus put the context of love for God in an expression of love for other people. And so, what greater thing could Jesus have done? As he laid down his life, he didn't just say, you know, I have this great connection with God and you just need to understand it and follow along with this great connection that I have. No, he demonstrated that by dying on the cross. Okay, so, you want to help me with a little test this morning, all right? So I'm going to ask you if you can tell me the correct answer that completes this sentence, all right? So in order to do this, and kids, you can help me with this, we need to do the either eh or ding, all right? So if it's the wrong answer, I want you to all go eh. So let's practice. One, two, three. All right. If it's the right answer, then I want you to do ding, all right? One, two, three. Okay, great. You know how it's going to work. So we'll see how you do. All right, so we're going to complete this sentence. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, that you have the books of the Bible memorized. Correct. Good. You're right. That's not the way the sentence is filled, completed. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, that you give lots of money. Not that that's a bad thing, okay, but you're right. Is the correct answer to that one. All right. Answer number three. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, that you root for the Dallas Cowboys. I'm sure, however, if the New Testament had been written today, this would have been in there, all right? But you're right. That's not the right answer, all right? Another one then. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Ding. Think about that for just a second. Jesus said to these men, these disciples, these men and women, who have a command to spread the news about himself, right? They have a command to go out and do this, to share this good news with other people, not to keep it amongst themselves, but to share this news with other people. And he says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The horizontal connection. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That pushes against isolation. Jesus said those crazy things like, pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies. That's not vertical, that's horizontal. But it only really happens when the vertical connection is established. John wrote this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 21. And this commandment that we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. You see, you can't do it. You can't say, I love God and I hate you. That does not work. That does not work. And if you're really sure about the you hating the other person part, then I'm pretty sure that you're wrong about the loving God part. It just doesn't work. The connections are related. They don't have one without the other. They're both the same. So my question for you as we get ready to celebrate today is, I'm just going to skip that and go to this one. How are your connections? How are your connections? If you're here this morning and you've never connected with God, you know, you've been thinking all along that, you know, I guess God is really interested in me being a relatively good person or a not so bad person. I'm here to tell you that's not the way you're going to be connected. And you are disconnected because of sin, as all of us are disconnected because of sin. But when we recognize that and when we by faith believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross, was resurrected to forgive us, he promises that this offering that Jesus gave is valid for you. Not on a probationary period, but is valid for you, that blood of Jesus Christ then forgives you of your sin by faith. And I invite you, even now, just simply ask him, Jesus, save me. I need to be forgiven. Save me. And he will, if you mean it. And then you can actually participate in a way that is meaningful for you for the very first time. How are your connections with others? It was traditional for many years in Brethren church life to have the deacons go and visit everyone in the church family before times of love feast and ask them to consider the relationships with God and with others, and if there was animosity and if there was brokenness, to go and fix that brokenness before we would participate in love feast. And I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to invite why don't you guys come on up? We're going to invite the praise team to come on up here. They're going to play and sing a song for us, and we're going to take a couple of minutes, and we're not going to spend more time than that. We probably should, but I want you to consider, how are your connections? And if you've got brokenness with other people that you've got a piece in, would you give that over to God today? And if he's leading you to make a phone call or to make a visit, would you do that? Would you recognize that you and I don't understand the damage that broken connection is doing? You see, you think, well, maybe I'm only hurting myself or it's only me and that person. But you have no idea the damage that brokenness could be doing. You have no idea who's watching you on the outside and who could be impacted by you reaching out. Now, I can't promise you that reconciliation is going to take place. Can't promise you any of that. But I can promise you that you can forgive and that you can reach out. And then this expression today of the body and blood of Christ will not only be an expression of the vertical connection that you have with Jesus, but also a desire to make all of those horizontal connections as right as you can possibly make them. Would you join me in prayer? Father, I thank you for the connections that you give to us. I thank you for the connections that you make available to us, to you. That the plan of Christ, Jesus, dying on a cross was the plan from the beginning of the world. And you have made it abundantly clear in your revealed scripture that through Jesus is the only way that we can establish the connection with you that is broken because of sin. So as we partake of this juice and this bread, may we be reminded of all that was given by your grace because you loved us. May that not motivate us to feel like we need to repay you. May that not motivate us to feel like, okay, well, we need to live a certain way to earn it. May we receive it as a gift and be reminded of how great you are. And then in those relationships that we may have even now, that you have asked us to do something to help to resolve the brokenness, and we have refused, may we today, right now, repent of that. Recognize that as sin and ask you to forgive us. And then motivate us and equip us to go take that step even today. Father, as we partake of communion, as we get ready, may you use this time in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.